I'm Ann Walton. I'm a certified trainer in nonviolent communication, and I've also been avidly studying in the past about a year and a half or 2 years. I've been studying neurobiology, which absolutely fascinates and entrances me. It's really delightful work. I find the two really fit together really well, and so I've been pairing those two things and having a lot of fun and a lot of meaningful discovery from doing so. How I'd like to begin, one of the neuropsychologists I've been studying is a man named Rick Hansen, and in addition to writing a book called Hardwiring Happiness, he wrote a book called Buddha's Brain, The Practical Neuroscience of Love, Happiness, and Wisdom. So there's a reading at the beginning of this book that I really particularly enjoy, and I'd like to share that with you right now. So let me open Rick's book, and if you just settle in, it's just about a paragraph is what I'm going to read to you. And I'd just like you to notice what happens inside you as you hear these words. It is a remarkable fact that the people who have gone the very deepest into the mind, the sages and saints of every spiritual tradition, all say essentially the same thing. Your fundamental nature is pure, conscious, peaceful, radiant, loving, and wise. And it is joined in mysterious ways with the ultimate underpinnings of reality, by whatever name you give that. Although your true nature may be hidden momentarily by stress and worry, anger and unfulfilled longings, it still continues to exist. Knowing this can be a great comfort. That's a passage that I particularly favor, is to know that what our true nature is, and it reminds me of what I've heard Marshall say, and that is the term he used was that our essential nature is one of compassion. So sometimes it just helps me to remember that, no matter what's going on in my life. So one of the phrases that I read just recently when I was reading some more about neurobiology was a term that really engaged me. Neuroplasticity is an idea that started to emerge in the middle of the last century. So it was sometime around the 1950s or so. And even before that, some scientists were questioning this idea that our neurocircuitry was unchangeable, that once we had established something in our brain, that it was not possible to change that. And the scientists began to question that and say, "Wow, I don't think so. I think our neural pathways are very adaptable and adjustable, and there are many amazing stories around how people have used that." At first, these scientists were not looked upon favorably by their colleagues because it was a revolutionary idea. Oh gosh, if we have an injury, say to a certain part of our body, if we've had a stroke, we will not be able to recover functions that are managed by that particular part of our brain. And people started doing revolutionary, amazing things and healing themselves, where scientists began to realize, oh yes, we can change our neural pathways and create more well-being for ourselves. So the term that I read recently was self-directed neuroplasticity. And that's essentially what I'm going to be inviting you to practice during our time together. So in other words, if I have an idea about myself, for instance, one of mine has been, oh, I don't deserve good things to happen. Well, there's actually a neural pathway. So that is a bunch of neurons that are strung together, that if I have an experience, somebody says something or I think something, that I might begin down that pathway that says, I'm not good enough, I don't deserve good things. And that I can actually change that, because it's just a neural pathway, and it's plastic, and it's adaptable and changeable. So that's one of the processes that I've used successfully to change some ideas, limiting ideas that I've held about myself. Another piece that I want to say is that quite often what we'll be doing is I'll be leading you through a guided meditation or guided visualization. And I will always mention this during the guiding I'm doing, but I want to say it right up front, is that anytime if I suggest something, I absolutely trust that you're going to have your own experience. If I'm suggesting something to you and you're inspired to go in a slightly different way, by all means, follow your own intuition and your own inner guidance. As I share these tools with you, I will let you know where they come from. Some of them are tools that I'm directly quoting from, or pretty directly quoting from Rick's work, Rick Hansen's work, that is. And some of them are a combination of Rick Hansen's work in MBC, and some of them are practices that I've developed given arising out of my reading on neurobiology. I'd also, before we begin, I'd like to share with you a couple of things, especially one that's been really very profound for me, a very profound change arising out of using these tools. I was married when I was really young. I was 18, and when I was 19, my son was born, and my daughter was born when I was 21, and I was a fairly young 19 and 21-year-old, and I've had a lot of judgments of myself about the ways I was with my children when they were young. And indeed, almost entirely the memories I've had about when they were young were painful memories. And recently, I'm really, really celebrating that I've begun to remember sweet, precious, loving, enjoyable, pleasurable moments. And that is really, really profound for me because it's such a difference. So that's one piece, is that I've now started having these happy, joyful memories. And the other is that I'm not beating myself up about these situations that involve my children when they were young. Those are two of the things that I've experienced that are really profound and have really made a difference in my day-to-day life experience. Well, I feel happier. So I wanted to share a little bit about that with you. All right. What I'd like to begin by doing is offering you a practice that I'm taking fairly directly from Rick's work. And this is around building resourcefulness, building inner resources. Let me check. Is there anybody who doesn't have a pen and paper handy? Because I'm going to ask you to write some things as well as do some visualization. So I'd like to begin by inviting you to think about some of your external resources and some of your internal resources. So your internal resources would be things like your abilities, your talents, your gifts, your accomplishments, your kind of way of being. So that would be some of my internal resources. And then external resources would be mentors or colleagues or friends or family members, people who, you know, care about you and love you. And I'd like you to make a list of all the resources that you can think of, both the internal ones that come from it within you and the external ones. And anything, even the simplest thing, like my ability to enjoy the image of a tree that still has its leaves on here in Canada. So I'm just asking for even simple things. Okay, and I'll give you a moment to do that. So I'd like to get a sense of what you've got on your list in terms of the inner or outer resources you have in your life, if you're willing to share one or two things from that list.
Internal, I have creativity, that I'm quite driven and tenacious. I'm a good listener. Teamwork, including others. That was my sort of internal.
Thank you. It's fun to hear that. And one of the things I'm wondering is, possibly might happen by sharing these, is you might identify something in yourself hearing someone else share what's one of their inner resources. Anyone else willing to share?
For external resources, internet learning, such as this course, I can talk openly to my husband, and I reach for books that teach me. Internal resources, I have a deep longing to learn new ways. I'm mostly honest and often a good listener. And I am very persistent about finding, searching for external resources to support me.
Thank you for that feedback. Thank you for sharing what you did. Anybody else inspired to share about some inner and outer resources you have?
So I guess I just want to add something. When writing resources, I found that a couple of them were both internal and external. Like music for me happens both ways. It's an internal resource and an external resource.
Well, thanks for that. I'm grateful for you raising that possibility that it's something can be an internal and an external resource. Thanks, Lee.
External resources. I first wrote my kids, and then my family, my friends, and then internet resources and books. And also presence through movement. So that was external. Internal, the capacity of loving people and support people and cultivating gratitude. And celebration, little tiny things in life, like a sunrise, like watching the tree, the sea, walking in mindfulness, little things like that. I am very persistent on working on myself, and I'm a good teamwork as well. Thank you.
Thanks. I really appreciate the list that's developing of inner and outer resources. Okay, so now I'd love to hear, is there anyone, if you added to your list of either inner or outer resources by hearing what other people shared. So several people noticed that when others shared, they added to their list. I know I did when I heard others say something on their list. Creativity. Oh, yeah, yeah, of course, yeah. So thank you for that. So let's see. What I'd like to offer then is that we add another call at the end of the time to replace this call because we spent the vast amount of the time trying to deal with this technological issue. It's very sweet for me to hear that people are appreciative of that offer. And I'm just allowing myself to receive that appreciation and acknowledgement. And it's really important to me. For me, this has been really disrupting. And I've noticed how, okay, well, this is an opportunity to bring yourself back to the moment, Anne, because sometimes my jackal started, oh my gosh, how am I going to resolve this? Blah, blah, blah. My jackal started up. And so just to be able to bring myself back to the moment, and it's okay. And then come up with a strategy that feels good to me, because I really want us to have good connection, to be able to hear each other well, and to be able to use these tools, to have access to these tools. So given the time, in the old days, perhaps in the domination system, there was a thing called homework, which just the very word itself made me cringe inside. What I'd like to replace that term with is just a suggested practice that you can incorporate, if you wish to, you could incorporate into your day to begin using these tools. So that is one time a day. Here's my suggestion, one time a day. I like to do it at the end of the day, but you could do it at the beginning of the day. I want to think about one thing that I really appreciated from the day. And I want to remember that moment. For me, for instance, it would be I was out riding on my bike today. even though it's kind of cool in Ottawa today. It was maybe around 40 or so. And I saw that a tree, weeping willow, still has quite a lot of leaves on it, even though most other trees, the leaves are gone. The leaves were green into gold, and they're all hanging down. And I can still picture that. And so what I want to do then is just take some moments and remember that image of this beautiful tree or whatever I'm grateful for, just to really remember it and allow it to seep through, to kind of flow into all the cells of my body, all the spaces in my body, all through my neurocircuitry and every other cell in my body. I just want to enrich and enhance this experience as I call to mind something I'm grateful for. That's what I'm inviting you to do. I'm offering as a possible practice for you to begin building even more resourcefulness than you already have and begin rewiring your brain to notice things that you really appreciate, to strengthen that potential for noticing things we enjoy. So that's my suggestion to you in our coming week. And what I'd like to do now is I'd like to go to a checkout. And I'd like you to share anything that you're grateful for and anything that you're mourning from our time together.
Schmozzle, I might call it, the connection not being great, that you and consistently kept expressing how you felt. And to me, I'm a newbie with NVC, and that really modeled in a real-life situation for me. One of the, as I understand it, one of the very first steps that you do in NVC is, and you were so honest, instead of just the tension or the frustration underlying what we were doing, you spoke about it. And that was just such a relief to me. I'm very grateful to have had that modeled during this. And my mourning is probably that I don't have so much to bite off and digest and work on until next week, because I really want to get going.
Yeah, I'm taking a breath and, well, grateful, you know, for technology nowadays that permits us to gather together from different parts of the world. And, yes, also giving us opportunities to accept limitations, not only in technology, in ourselves, in our hopes and, you know, in our dreams and whatever. Just another opportunity to be with what is and noticing how our mind can go into, you know, grasping or resisting. So also grateful, and for your generosity in adding a session. I'm just really grateful, you know, how every situation is an opportunity to really stay or go back to what we call NDC consciousness. So really being, you know, in full honesty, transparency, and in partnership with one another.
Thank you, everybody, so much. I'm really celebrating how, well, I'm mourning how much difficulty I had at times when there were so many, it seemed like my jackals were saying, so many issues. And what I'm celebrating is, because of these processes that I've been doing, how much more readily I'm able to bring myself back to the present moment. And that is like phenomenal to me. And I'm really grateful to hear from others on the call that the piece about modeling NVC, just saying, you know, I'm really regretful, and whatever was going on for me, being able to speak about that and not holding some idea that I'm the trainer and therefore I should be totally smooth with everything that occurs and never feel a wrinkle, which is not the case. One of the things I appreciate about myself and see as a real inner strength is my willing to be vulnerable and to be transparent about what's going on for me. And I'm also celebrating that I shared with you about the change in terms of holding my relationship with my children when they were young, because that really fulfilled my desire to be authentic and transparent with people. Okay, all. Well, Stephanie is going to open your mic, everybody's mic, so we can all say goodbye, and I will see you next week.